What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com. It is February 1st. This is the Backstage Report. I've been trying to put these out on Sundays, but obviously, considering Royal Rumble is this Sunday, I thought it'd be a lot more sensible to post this on February 1st. But the Royal Rumble itself had bred the stories in which you're about to hear, including Goldberg. So he was set for that match with Drew McIntyre that we saw. And when he was added, I started to hear stories about his past matches. And there was the Fox Sports interview where he talked about the jackhammer and said that he wanted the jackhammer against The Undertaker back. Well, apparently he wanted it back so much that for his Bray Wyatt match, he wasn't even that gung-ho on doing it. Sources that we spoke to said that he was dealing with a shoulder injury, and he was happy just using a spear, and everything seemed agreed upon between Bray Wyatt and Goldberg, at least based on those that we spoke to, and they ran it by Vince McMahon, and Vince McMahon was adamant that Goldberg used the jackhammer to win the match, which is what would eventually happen. Obviously, that is a less than impressive finish, but much like the lack of ad-libbing in his Drew McIntyre promo when he got back, it was another case of Goldberg just doing what the company asked of him. So you can say, well, that jackhammer wasn't good. The Drew McIntyre promo wasn't good. And, I mean, you guys know that Fightful, specifically me, are quick to criticize the man when he deserves it, but he is literally just doing what he was told in this sense. And I like that he knew his own limits well enough to say, yeah, I should probably just use the jackhammer. But he probably also should have been a little bit more certain with his assessment, so to speak, because if he did not want to win with a jackhammer, that's how it would have happened. He could have used a spear, but I do at least respect the fact that he went out there and did what he was supposed to do. Well, of course, we saw plenty of people in the Royal Rumble pop up without advertisement. We saw a couple that did with advertisement. Edge returned on WWE Raw and said that he would be appearing in the Royal Rumble match after 6 months off. Fightful inquired within WWE about why this happened instead of a Rumble surprise, and we were told that if there were an actual crowd, there was a good chance it would have been held off, and we would not have seen Edge do an announcement about his return, but they wanted to create some more buzz, and it would hopefully help attract lapsed fans. Now, obviously, we saw plenty of buzz about the Royal Rumble, and he was announced as one of the top entrants. They also put out there that Natalya would be the number 30 entrant. That was a way to help boost the ratings on WWE Backstage, help further that WWE-Fox relationship after they had done this deal with Peacock. You know, they want to make sure that Fox gets what they paid for in that regard. So it's a way to give Fox and that WWE Backstage one-time special a little bit more buzz as well. And they didn't feel like it did much harm. Personally, I wouldn't have done it, but I don't see a problem with them doing it. It didn't bother me whatsoever to know who was going to be out number 30 for the women. It didn't bother me to know who was going to be out number 1 and 2 for the men. So it didn't really affect things for me that way. And it did create some buzz that Randy Orton and Edge would be the top two participants in the Royal Rumble. It did play off that history, and it's like, okay, well, Randy's got this thing with Bray, but what's going to happen with Edge? Because that's where they left off, and everybody thought that Edge and Randy Orton was going to be the WrestleMania match. So I don't hate the idea. Don't hate it. Speaking of the Royal Rumble, they did the women's rehearsal, or at least had it planned, for 6 hours on Saturday in Orlando. That caused some of the people that were already in Tampa to make the trip back to Orlando. But the thought process we were given was that it would be much more convenient for those in Orlando already. Last year, WWE had the Women's Royal Rumble broken down into two sections to set up the match to streamline that process. However, there were said to have been some issues getting people there, and then when people got there, they were hugging and shaking hands and all that. This is last year, by the way. And then they go through the things, and the next thing you know, it's the wee hours of the night. And that's something that WWE wanted to avoid this year. Well, unfortunately, Jey Uso and Robert Roode avoided SmackDown last week. We aren't told why they weren't there, but they were not there at the shows on Friday. Very unfortunate. Tag team division needs Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler in it. Jey Uso, of course, has been a strong character, but they were not there. I was told that Steve Cutler and Wesley Blake have also missed a couple of shows of late. But Friday saw a whole lot more talk about the upcoming WWE Raw and Royal Rumble and the Raw stars that were going to be at SmackDown than it did actually SmackDown itself, according to those that we spoke with. That was definitely reflected in the show itself. Well, Chelsea Green was not scheduled for the Royal Rumble, but Fightful learned that as of Friday, Chelsea Green is going through the process of being cleared. Green has been sidelined for the last 2 months after sustaining a broken wrist, but has been working to prepare for a return. She has been seen at the WWE Performance Center over the course of January and has also been working out at Robert Stone's gym alongside Britt Baker, Santana Garrett, Deonna Purrazzo, Reba, according to her own social media posts. We're told the injury is healed up, but Green still has to go through WWE standard injury protocol before being deemed good to go. You get in the ring, you start bumping around, kind of ease into it, and then they clear you. And that's not usually an immediate thing. We'll circle back on WWE stuff, but let's talk some non-WWE stuff. We had Ricky Shane Page on the show, and he was a big part of Fight Forever. And he does not do a lot of interviews. I was very fortunate to get to do an interview with him. One of the best heels in wrestling, period. He does some incredible work. But I asked him about his recent match with JTG. And I was like, man, was there some stuff that he wasn't comfortable doing? And Ricky Shane Page said no. In fact, he wanted to use light tubes. He insisted that we used weapons and things like that, which I think is very cool. He also told me he was Ethan Page's toy mule to get figures across the border, because Ethan Page realized that shipping to Ricky Shane Page's house was a lot cheaper, and Ricky Shane Page could just bring them across the border. And he spoke about Jody Threat saying that she would be on TV now if not for the pandemic. Now, we did speak specifically about heel work, and he said that he looks up to the heel work of Randy Orton, and sometimes he goes old school and will slap on a hold just to drive the indie crowd nuts. But there's this old approach to wrestling that being a heel means you don't do good merch sales. And that was more of an archaic thing, but he says that it worked the opposite. The 440 merch sales, he says, have exploded since they've turned things up on their heel run. And he doesn't necessarily have a preference on whether he gets booed or cheered to confirm that heel work. But he has had some pretty heated crowds, has not had a lot of people challenge him physically. He is 6'4", 300 pounds. But he said that the Run Ricky Run show was the craziest that he's seen his work go as a heel to get to the crowd, but knows that most people realize they're just working and are along for the ride. This conversation is a really in-depth one about the inside out of heel work, and I really encourage you guys to check that out. Between that and Effie talking business last week, there's just some really, really valuable information from that side of the spectrum. So, yeah, I really loved that interview. Moose. So, on Impact Hard to Kill, you saw Don Callis come up and say, oh, Moose, you've got a 2-year deal. And if you wanted to stay a 2-year deal, well, then you'll go easy on Kenny Omega, brother. And Moose is like, nah, I'm not gonna. Moose does not have a 2-year deal with Impact Wrestling. Now, Moose was announced as signing a multi-year deal in 2019. And this led to many people thinking, oh, well, okay, that multi-year deal is up and he signed another one. No, it was just a storyline. As of that angle, Moose's contract is actually up in June, which would make him a free agent at that time. And that's a pretty big free agent to have in 5 months. He's done a lot of high-level work and really had a breakout performance in that hard-to-kill main event. Now, of course, there are some other things that might prevent him from getting signed from his past, but it's expected there will actually be a steady stream of contracts coming due this first half of the year, as we have reported in the past. Contract season usually really goes through about right now. If not Wrestle Kingdom, then New Beginning, and some deals are up around then usually. But this year, we're going to see contracts that are up after a lot of tapings and through May because of the original AEW contracts that were signed, unless those have been extended. So that's definitely something that you got to keep your eye on in the wrestling world, because there's going to be a lot of moves made this year. Okay, so Royal Rumble news. We had a lot of it. Fightful Select had reported that Kane and Santana Garrett would be in the building. We had reported that WWE had asked some NXT wrestlers about possibly doing extra work for Bad Bunny, which didn't end up happening, but they were asked to be prepared in that regard. So a lot of these surprise entrants were kept very close to the vest, and some of them weren't seen around that much on Sunday, but I can tell you guys that the lineup was nailed down by Sunday morning. What you saw is what they planned on. We reported it on Fightful Select. That's how it ended up happening. So that's good news. Adam Pearce was instrumental in putting together that women's Royal Rumble match. And outside of that, the Hurricane hit a similar message, said, "Hope you're doing okay." Or said, "Are you doing okay after that?" He said, "No." It looked like a rough drop on his ankle. I don't want to speculate because I didn't get anything in-depth besides no to "Are you okay?" But man had his ankle fused together and deals with constant pain. So here's to hoping that he's okay. I heard from several people that they didn't see Vince McMahon there. Now, Vince McMahon has been missing several shows of late because he lost his brother Rod McMahon. We want to send our condolences to Vince McMahon and his family. That has got to be tough on him. So, unfortunate, especially considering how great that show was that Vince McMahon could not be there for it. And I'm sure his family's going through an awful lot right now. And we want to send our love and our thoughts there to him for that. We're going to keep asking about Royal Rumble news. I am up at after 2 a.m. Eastern filming this show because I wanted to get it in as early as possible for you guys. But it really changed the injury updates, that's for sure. We do this every single week here on Fightful Select. We give you exclusive news. Then we do injury updates and contract updates. And because it's Royal Rumble, we're bringing you guys stats as well. Let's go to the contract updates first. Jerry Lawler, his deal was up on January 10th. He was there at the Rumble, so apparently he re-signed. You have Zoe Stark, the former Lacey Ryan, Gigi Dolan, the former Priscilla Kelly, Cora Jade, the former Elena Black, Mako Satomura, Tony Gill, Mitihan, and Bailey Matthews all signing with WWE. A huge week and a half, especially on the women's wrestling front. On the men's side, the former Gursinder Singh signing and William Regal's son signing turned some heads, but getting Lacey Ryan, Elena Black, Priscilla Kelly, and Mako Satomura is a monster haul for WWE. Big time. Keep your eye on Lacey Ryan. My God, there's going to be some incredible stuff with her in the future. If we don't see a pay-per-view headlined with Lacey Ryan and Bianca Belair in the future, I don't know what they're doing. The Bouncers, Beer City Bruiser, Brian Malonis signed new Ring of Honor deals. So let's talk about all the injury updates. So Murphy, Keith Lee, Jey Uso, and Robert Roode were all listed as inactive recently, as was Steve Cutler and Wesley Blake. Reckoning, Mia Yim announced that she had COVID-19 on January 30th, so unfortunately she's out of action. Chelsea Green is still trying to get cleared, but Naomi returned to the ring. She had myectomy surgery back in August and has been sidelined. She had a great showing in the Royal Rumble. Lana has not actually had an injury, from what I understand. She had just been sidelined, and good to see her back. She got that elimination over Nia Jax. She had to get that. Braun Strowman, we saw him come back on Friday and announced that he'd be back in the Royal Rumble. He looks jacked. Edge came back on Monday night, announced his entry into the Royal Rumble. Also great to see him. Mickie James has been cleared for a return from a broken nose, and she's back, at least in the Royal Rumble. She doesn't have an assigned brand. She was skipped over in the draft, as was Edge, so we don't know where they're going to end up. We know where Seth Rollins is going to end up, and that's SmackDown. He's back after a couple of months of paternity leave. Let's talk about the big one, Christian. Christian has not wrestled in 7 years, almost 7 years, and returned at the Royal Rumble. Now, technically, he wrestled an unsanctioned match last year against Randy Orton. Usually when WWE has somebody on a no contact agreement or stipulation, they can't be touched at all in any way, shape, or form. Paige is on that. Ric Flair used to be on that. There's a whole lot of people who are on that and cannot be touched. And Christian apparently no longer on that. He popped up in the Royal Rumble. He's not had an honest-to-God match since March 24, 2014. He won a top contendership match over Del Rio, Ziggler, and Sheamus for an IC title shot. And he dealt with concussion issues. And now he's back, at least for now. We don't know how long this will be. We don't know how much it'll be. He looks awesome. It's so great to see him back. But this was a shock. 18-plus minutes in the Royal Rumble, Christian did. 18-plus minutes. We don't know what brand he'll be on. We don't know if he'll continue to wrestle. We don't know about any of that. And, I mean, I don't think he had an 18-minute match for, like, months and months before he retired. I would say like some of the top contender stuff with Orton and RVD, maybe the Elimination Chamber match, but Christian coming back is massive. And we're going to work to find out more on that and a lot of the reactions backstage to that. So much going on in the world of wrestling, but Christian has returned. Well, we got plenty of stats for you for the Royal Rumble. We keep some really good stat pages up for this, so I hope you guys enjoy it. But Rhea Ripley had the most eliminations of any wrestler in 2021 with 7. 5 of the top 9 times in Women's Rumble history were from this year's field. Shayna Baszler's 6 eliminations give her 14 all-time, which is a women's record. Victoria and Jillian Hall had their first WWE matches in over 10 years at the Rumble. Bianca Belair spent 56 minutes, 49 seconds in the Women's Rumble, which is a new record for women. Belair is the first woman to win from the 3 spot or any spot lower than 17. Carmella, Dana Brooke, Liv Morgan, Mandy Rose, Naomi, Natalya, and Tamina have been in every Women's Royal Rumble match. That's 7 people that have been in all of them. Bianca Belair tied Charlotte Flair's record for eliminations by a women's winner with 4. Speaking of Charlotte Flair, she now has the cumulative Royal Rumble time record for women at 1 hour, 51 minutes, 5 seconds, and Carmella spent the shortest time in the Rumble at 45 seconds. That was the 6th shortest ever, but nobody else even cracked the top 10 shortest ever on the women's side of things. We had lots of history being made on the men's side as well. Kane joined Edge as the only wrestler to be in the Royal Rumbles in the 90s, 2000s, 2010s, and 2020s. They are joined by Jim Duggan and Shawn Michaels as 4-decade Royal Rumblers. Kane became the first person ever to appear in 20 Royal Rumbles, but Dolph Ziggler moved into sole possession of second place with 14. Kane extended his record for most eliminations. Now, this is across all 3 characters, the Fake Diesel, Isaac Yankem, and Kane. WWE recognizes a few less than this, but Kane has actually eliminated 46 wrestlers. The next closest active wrestler is Braun Strowman at 36, but 13 of those were in the Greatest Royal Rumble. Some people don't count those. The next closest would be Reigns at 32, and all of his are in pretty straightforward Royal Rumbles. Edge is the first Hall of Famer to win a Royal Rumble. He's the 3rd person to win from the number 1 spot, which is now 2nd most. However, Vince McMahon and Rey Mysterio both won from the 2 spot. And really, if you're in the 1st or 2nd spot, it's the same damn thing. One just comes out after the other. They both start the match. So now, 5 people have won Royal Rumbles from the 1 or 2 spot, which means if you start off the Royal Rumble, you are actually now more likely to win the match than any other spot. Unbelievable. Edge and Randy Orton both technically cracked the top 10 longest men's time in a Royal Rumble match ever. and they are the third duo to go from numbers 1 and 2 and make it all the way to the end of the Rumble. However, there's always some shifty stuff there. Orton spent a lot of time outside the ring. You had Austin and McMahon back in 99. They spent a bunch of time outside of the ring and backstage. And then the first time was Shawn Michaels and British Bulldog in 95, and that was like a 40-something minute Rumble. Hurricane was the quickest elimination at 30 seconds. Randy Orton has now technically spent 4 hours, 31 minutes, and 49 seconds in a Rumble, second to Chris Jericho's 4 hours, 59 minutes, 33 seconds. Orton has a real shot at being the first 5-hour guy, although you could argue that about 40 minutes of this shouldn't have counted, but hey, I don't make the rules. Seth Rollins, Big E, Damian Priest, and Braun Strowman all eliminated 4 wrestlers. I love the Royal Rumble. I love Royal Rumble stats, and I love you guys. Thank you all. This is a very late night, and I'm dropping this show. I wanted to get it to you guys as soon as possible. I did 2 hours on the Royal Rumble post show. I did an hour with Wrestle Talk. I did about 20 minutes with Matt Men, and I did another hour on Fightful during the show. My God. I hope you guys aren't sick of me. Thank you guys so much. We crossed 1,000 subscribers. The way that Patreon does things, we'll probably lose a bunch of those in the first couple days of the month. So be sure to resub. I appreciate all of you guys so much. I appreciate the fact that you all care enough to support what we do. I cannot tell you how important that is with ad rates down and all that stuff to support the exclusive content and the work that we do here. It means so much, and nights like this are what I live for. It's my favorite thing. I get to talk about wrestling with you guys all night long. So thank you guys very much. Until next time, we're out.